السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. الحمد لله. After Sheikh Yusuf Badat's excellent talk, I want to touch upon an important subject, which is how we go about following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Sheikh Yusuf's made my life very easy because he's highlighted so many important aspects of following the sunnah and how one brings the sunnah into one's life. And everything has a sunnah. There's a way of going about doing everything. And one of the sunnahs of knowledge is that one takes notes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ihris ala ma yanfa'uk." Be avid for that which benefits you. Right? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when revelation first used to come, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do? He used to keep repeating the revelation, keep repeating it. Why? Because he was avid to retain it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that it is upon us to preserve it. And it's an important sunnah that one is avid for benefit. So any time one attends a gathering of knowledge, one should have pen and paper. Imam Shafi'i said that knowledge, he said about knowledge that العلم صيد والكتابة قيده, that knowledge is like a wild animal. It's full of life, it's full of energy, but it runs away. And the pen is what retains it. Right? The pen is what restrains it. Because we hear so much of benefit. Yet, how can you retain it? You retain it by writing it down. You retain it by writing it down and reviewing it. Because knowledge is like, we're trying to build our deen. We're trying to build our deen. So it's not just about some kind of Islamic form of entertainment. That, wow, that was really cool. But it's about having something that one keeps, that one can grow. This idea of tarbiyah, of growth in our deen. Now, when we look at the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's a given. We know that we're supposed to be following the sunnah. But we fail to follow the sunnah. And then we see people who claim to follow the sunnah, yet there's something wrong, right? It doesn't click. And all of it returns to a problem, which is that there's a sunnah of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a way you go about following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And one of the best explanations of how you go about following the sunnah is in one of the greatest collections of hadith. And this is the work of Imam Nawawi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, called Riyadu Salihin, the Gardens of the Righteous. In this book, Imam Nawawi sought to describe the way to eternal success. Where are the gardens of the righteous? The gardens of the righteous are in paradise. That's where you're supposed to be. How do you get there? This book is a manual of how to get to the gardens of the righteous. And Imam Nawawi was not just a hadith scholar of great expertise. He was also a tremendous faqih. He was a master of the Islamic science of fiqh, and he had deep understanding. So he arranged the book very carefully. When we think of sunnahs, we think of a to-do list. Like you have 25 things you have to do today. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, till 25. The interesting thing about Imam Nawawi's book, Riyad al-Salihin, is that the first 25 chapters and beyond, none of them relate to anything that you specifically do. None of them. Rather, Imam Nawawi begins his description of how to follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, his collection of prophetic hadiths, by laying out for us how you go about following the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is very important. Imam Al-Muzani, who is a great student of Imam Al-Shafi'i, he said, he was asked about what made Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu so great, that he's the best of creation. after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What made him so great? And Imam Muzani radiallahu anhu said that Abu Bakr was greater than the rest of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not because of much fasting nor because of much prayer, but rather it was something that was in his heart. What was in his heart? There was a certain attitude to the deen. There was a certain approach to the sunnah of Sayyid al-Mursaleen, our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we'll look at what this approach is. In the first part of Riyadh al-Saliheen, which covers about 24 chapters, and for a practical advice, go and spend the $20 or $30 that it takes to get a copy of Riyadh al-Saliheen. Every believer who's serious about their deen should have a copy of this book. Anyone who's serious about their deen should be reading the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taking lessons from it on a daily basis. Right? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that verily you have in the Messenger of Allah the most beautiful of examples. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ, for whoever seeks Allah in the last day. So if he is supposed to be our exemplar, we should be looking at that example regularly. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just tell us that you have in the Messenger of Allah an example. He says, you have in the Messenger of Allah the very most beautiful of examples. So we take the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an exemplar, but how do we take him as an exemplar? In a certain way, which is with husn, in a way that is beautiful. With ihsan, in a way that is excellent. Right? In a following that is hasan. In a following that is good. Right? So you have to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because you have no other way to Allah. But you have to follow him as his sunnah entails. The first seven chapters of Riyadh al-Saliheen lay out for us the foundation of following the sunnah. Imam Nawawi begins with sincerity. He begins with sincerity because this is what the whole religion revolves around. What is our religion? Our religion can be summarized as being sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our religion is to be true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the meanings of nasiha, right? Of nasiha, which we think of as being at giving advice. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that religion is nasiha. Religion is nasiha. Religion is sincere concern. What is sincere concern? The Sahaba were confused, right? Because in the usage of the Arabs, nasiha typically is used to mean advice. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminded, no, it's not advice. It is sincere concern. He said, they said, to whom? To whom do we give nasiha? And the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to Allah. Reminding them of the root meaning of nasiha. That is the religion. Because what is nasiha? Nasiha is sincere concern that you have, that causes you to act in a certain way towards the object of your concern. So who is your sincere concern for? Above all, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the deen. The deen is sincere concern to Allah and to his messenger. To Allah and to his book and to his messenger and the believers, both their leaders and commonality. So this is why Imam Nawawi begins with intention. Why? Because who is the sunnah for? Who is the sunnah for? The sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, is for whoever seeks Allah and the last day. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah the most beautiful of examples for whoever seeks Allah in the last day. So what is the sunnah? The sunnah is a way that is followed. What is the destination point? What is the goal? What is the purpose? It is Allah. And it is your eternal felicity, your success in the hereafter. When you fail to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or when you fall short in the way you follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is because of a lack of longing, a lack of seeking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's because of a lack of sincerity. It's because of a lack of sincerity. And that's why he begins, rahimahullah, with a chapter on sincerity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us something tremendous about sincerity, about intention, that a good deed How much is it rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much is a good deed rewarded? Okay, it's rewarded tenfold, right? A good deed is rewarded tenfold. So you perform a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His generosity, multiplies its reward tenfold. But is that it? No. As the brother pointed out, but I cut him off, it's a good deed is rewarded tenfold, up to 700 times, to many times thereof. What is the difference? Two people prayed. One got 10 rewards, one got 700. What's the difference? They did exactly the same thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-hasanatu bi'ashri amthaliha." The good deed is rewarded tenfold, up to 700 times. So, if we have four people praying, one got 10 rewards, another got 100, another got 700. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, up to many times thereof. Many times 700, said the ulama. And I'm terrible at math, but that's like 490,000 or some big number. What's the difference? They performed exactly the same action, right? And when you're young, when it comes to religious matters, you feel kind of lazy. You should reflect on this hadith. Because the sunnah is not a matter of quantity alone. It's a matter of quality. The sunnah is a matter of quality. It is your seeking Allah and the last day. If you find yourself not following the sunnah, don't make your concern just that I have to do this, this, and this. No, make your concern the goal. Imagine if you gave me a phone call. And imagine if I drived. I don't, right? But you gave me a call and you asked me, where are you? I'd say I'm on the 401. What would you ask me next? What's a logical question? Yeah, where are you going, right? Where are you going? The sunnah is a way that is followed. Our problem in not following the sunnah is we don't know where we're going. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us this question, فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ? So where are you headed? So if you want to follow the sunnah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He is, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the most beautiful of examples for whoever seeks Allah in the last day. So you want to succeed in bringing the sunnah into your life? Work on your longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Work on your longing for the akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make much remembrance of the destroyer of all pleasures, namely death. And when you do, then you will realize that you have to be sincere in your actions. You have to set a goal in life. And you have to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that you do. And you'll change the way you go about doing things. This is why he began with sincerity. But this is a tremendous calling, and you're going to fall short. So the next chapter that he placed is a chapter on repentance. The chapter on repentance. Because especially when you take your first steps, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. You're going to fall short. And the Prophet ﷺ himself, how much did he use to repent every day? Yeah, in the hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, by Allah, I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him 70 times a day. And in Muslim, 100 times a day. And how much did the Prophet ﷺ sin? Not at all. Right? The Prophet ﷺ did not sin. The Prophets were preserved from sin. Yet he repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because it's the nature of the limited to feel a sense of shortcoming before the divine, before the absolute. A sense of awe that you deserve more, O Allah. Right? So you repent. You repent not only when you sin, but you also repent and seek Allah's forgiveness when you do the good. What's the first thing we do after we pray? The first sunnah after the prayer, what is it? Anyone else? What's the first sunnah after the prayer? You say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What's the first thing you're supposed to do? You make istighfar three times. Forgive me, O Allah. Forgive me, O Allah. Forgive me, O Allah. Astaghfirullah. 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 Why? Did you do anything bad right now? No. You did the thing that the Prophet ﷺ described as being خَيْرُ مَوْضُوعَ الصَّلَاةُ خَيْرُ مَوْضُوعَ. Prayer is the best of matters. Yet you repent right after you pray. Why? Because you prayed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you realize that Allah deserved more than what you gave, right? You're directed towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you realize you fall short, so you repent. But what is our repentance? Repentance is returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawbah, in the Arabic language, repentance means to return, right? That you realize that you are not seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you should. So you feel a sense of shortcoming and you repent. And Imam Nawawi continues in his chapter headings on how you go about following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You have sincerity of purpose. You repent when you fall short. And then the next chapter is patience. Sabr. Right? Is sabr. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about patience, that وَصَبْرُ ضِيَاءُ, that patience, steadfastness, is illumination, is absolute radiant light. Because what is patience? Patience is holding yourself firm on that which you've decided to do, right? Is holding yourself firm, right? So you don't move. You've decided this is what I have to do, and you stick with it. And this is something that we have to work on. We have to keep trying. In the beginning, when you do something, it's difficult, right? You begin praying, it's heavy, it's difficult initially. You leave a sin, it's difficult because you used to enjoy it. You found some perceived pleasure in it, but you hold yourself firm. But that patience is not possible unless you know why you're being patient. That patience is not possible unless you know why you're being patient. And why are you being patient? Because you seek Allah and the last day. You seek Allah and the last day. And how do you sustain that steadfastness? Imam Nawawi continues in his chapter headings, telling us about the virtue of muraqabah, of watchfulness, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you, and being watchful over yourself, that Allah not see you in a manner that is displeasing to Him. And this is how one nourishes one's faith, by developing the sense that Allah is watching me, that Allah is watching me wherever I am, so let me watch over myself so that I am pleasing to my Lord. And if you sustain this state of watchfulness, what do you acquire? You acquire taqwa. You acquire taqwa. But how do you acquire taqwa? By developing a standard in life. What am I trying to do? And for that, a very simple thing is, if you're at university, or you're in college, or you're in high school, you can tell the successful students from those who aren't. You ask the student who's successful, what are you trying to do? They say, well, I'm trying to go to med school, to law school, to this, to that, whatever. And then you have the slackers, right? And second year university, I decided I want to go overseas to study. So I wanted to chill out. I actually didn't want to succeed at university, because I feared if I succeeded at university, like, you know, did well, my parents might put pressure on me. So I just sort of took the scenic route. I did my 4-year degree in 5 years. But there's the slackers. You see them hanging out in the cafeteria, just chilling out. And there's the people who are serious. The people who are serious have a plan. And this is something that Sheikh Yusuf mentioned that's very important. Have a plan. Have a plan. You have a goal. Whom is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam an exemplar for? For whoever seeks Allah and the last day. So you should have a life plan. What am I trying to do in this life? You should have a mission statement, a goal. I am trying to succeed as a believer by achieving this. And then you should have a plan. How am I going to do it? Sheikh Yusuf talked about the importance of having a schedule, of having a schedule. And this is something that is so emphasized. Imam Nawawi continues by the characteristics in chapters 8 to 13 of the righteous, that they strive for uprightness, right? They strive for uprightness in life. And he mentioned the hadith that be istaqimu wa lan tuhsu, strive for absolute uprightness, but you'll fall short. So what do? Fasaddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru. Remain steadfastly committed, right? Remain steadfastly committed. Why? Because you have a sense of purpose why you're trying to follow the sunnah. You have a sense of purpose why you're trying to get up for fajr. You have a sense of purpose why you're leaving that sin. Because when you're in the mall and you see something haram, if you don't know why you're leaving it, It's easy to say, oh, well, next time, and you just do it. But if you have a sense of purpose, like the Prophet ﷺ had when he walked, how did he walk ﷺ? He walked with a sense of purpose. It was like he was coming down a hill because he knew where he was going ﷺ. Right? He was a man full of purpose ﷺ. So be steadfastly committed. فَسَدِّدُوا وَقَارِبُوا And do your best. And do your best. And this is an important aspect of the sunnah, that while we're committed to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completely, what is the sunnah of following the sunnah? It is gradualism. It is gradualism. That one seeks to increase in one's good works, but one looks at the bigger picture. That change takes time. Change takes time. And this is why consistency is one of the most important sunnahs. Sayyidah Aisha described the action of the Prophet ﷺ, that if he did something, he used to make it firm. He used to make it a firm practice. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do something now and then leave it and then move on to something else. No. The Prophet ﷺ, if he took on a practice, he used to make it a consistent part of him. And the Prophet ﷺ is described by Sayyidah Aisha that كان أحب العمل إليه ما داوم عليه صاحبه. The most beloved of actions to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were those a person did most consistently. And he told us sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that عليكم من العمل ما تطيقون. Take from action, take from religious works that which you can manage. فوالله لا يمل الله حتى تمل. That by For by Allah, Allah does not tire until you do. Allah does not tire of rewarding you until you tire of acting. So you have that commitment, right? You have that commitment. You're seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you work on that commitment. And you strive to bring the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into your life. But how? In a gradual, sustained manner. In a gradual, sustained manner. The sunnah is about iqtisad. It's about moderation and balance. But what is moderation? If you're blessed to have a lot of uncles in your family, they'll say, Beta, you have to be moderate Muslim. Right? Beta, Islam is about moderation. The word for moderation, though, in the Arabic language, is a beautiful word. It's called iqtisad. Iqtisad. It's actually also the word for economy. But moderation, balance. What's the basis of moderation? The basis of moderation is having a sense of purpose. Iqtisad is from the same root as qasd. Right? Iqtisad, balance, moderation, is from the same root as qasd. What's qasd? Qasd is resolve. Right? Is resolve, having a sense of direction. You have a maqsood. You have a goal. A goal is called a maqsood. And your resolve, your determination is called your qasd. So moderation, our moderation in our deen is not being lax. Say, you know what? There's Muslims who are kind of lax and there's Muslims who are kind of extreme. I'm just going to be the chill out in the middle kind of guy. No. Our moderation is radical moderation, right? We are extremely committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But being extremely committed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala entails balance. Why? Because life is long, right? And what counts is how you die, not what you do now. Life is like a marathon, which I've never run, right? Races seem to be a tremendous waste of time because you run and run and run and usually end up back where you began. So when I was in high school, I was in high school in Spain, I typically, if they had school races, I used to volunteer to help organize the race and tell people which way to go and stuff. We used to have a lot of cross-country racing. It seemed to be a waste of time. You run all this way and you end up where you started, right? So why waste your energy, right? So the believer does not waste their energy. They don't just do anything. Rather, their balance is a balance that they look at the long term. I have a goal. I want to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What counts is not just what I do now, it's what I sustain in life to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why we're moderate. We take on things because the point is that we want to change. We want to go from where we are to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. Then this is why we take on things in a gradual manner. but not being satisfied with a little, but rather we strive for absolute uprightness. And we do our best to draw closer to that. But this is bewildering. Balance is very difficult. Balance is very difficult. Laxity is easy. Extremism is easy. But what is the way of balance? The way of balance is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? They say, the ulama describe, what is the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path? They say that the straight path is the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but is the path that is between the extremes of laxity and excess. That in everything, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us the way of balance, right? The way of balance and beauty. And part of it is the concern, right? The concern is not just what you go about doing, but how you go about doing it. That anything that you do it with excellence. One of the great scholars of Yemen, and one of the greatest scholars of the last 400 years of Islamic scholarship, Imam Abdullah Al-Haddad, and he's written some excellent books and they're translated into English. Imam Abdullah Al-Haddad, he said that the concern of the righteous, the concern of the righteous is not merely to act, but rather it is excellence in action. The concern of the righteous is not merely to act, but it is excellence in action. So that don't just worry about praying and doing this and that. Rather, worry about praying with excellence. And what is praying with excellence? It's praying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you make that your concern, then you'll find that the prayer is meaningful. And if you find that your prayer is meaningful, then you'll want to do it. Because you'll find benefit in it. But if you just make it a head-banging session, you won't find any benefit in it. And if you don't find any benefit in it, it's very hard to sustain. And similarly with everything else, we have concern of Allah in anything that we do. Right? And in this, we have to look at the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, this most beautiful of examples. How do we gain longing for Allah in the last day? We gain longing for Allah in the last day by looking at the example of the Prophet ﷺ, right? That this amazing person, free of sin, yet who used to stand so long at night that his feet would swell from his lengthy standing. His dear wife, Sayyidah Aisha, said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you stand so, why do you do this when Allah has lifted from you all sin, past and future? What did he say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant? Right? Should I not be a thankful servant? So we should look at that sunnah, look at the attitude of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not merely serve his Lord. He served his Lord in a certain way. We have to find out. Right? We have to find out. Very often we've reduced the sunnah just to, okay, these are the actions of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So okay, you do it. But what about how he prayed, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The most significant thing about the ruku' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not merely the posture of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was bent in his bowing, but rather it was the state of his heart, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the outward is very important. It's vital, because without the outward, this meaning is lost. But concern yourself with that meaning. When you prostrate, don't just consider the problem. Okay, I put my hands like this, my nose is touching, my toes are pointing towards the Qibla, and that's it. You do that because that's how the Prophet ﷺ prostrated. But how did the Prophet ﷺ prostrate? What was the state of heart of the beloved of Allah ﷺ when his forehead was on the ground? Right? The state of heart of the person who said that my eyes sleep, yet my heart is awake. The Prophet ﷺ had a strength of relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even when his eyes went to sleep, his heart was awake, conscious of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should look towards the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and not just his worship. What made his character beautiful? What made his conduct beautiful? It's not just a sense that I'm the servant of Allah, but it's a sense of why he was the servant of Allah. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described as having tremendous character. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily, you are of tremendous character. What is it that made the character of the Prophet ﷺ tremendous? What made his character so tremendous that he could return to Mecca after 2 decades of opposition and oppression and fighting and wrong by his own people, and he entered victorious? Yet what did he say to them? He said, today I say to you, as Yusuf said to his brethren, today I say to you, as Yusuf said to his brethren, the Prophet Yusuf, right? Today I say to you, as Yusuf said to his brethren, there's no blame on you today. We are but brothers. May Allah forgive us and you. Right? What made his character so amazing? The Quraysh were terrified. When the Muslims were entering, they were terrified. They fled and said, where do we go? So they said, okay, let's all take refuge in the houses of the most prominent of Quraysh, because maybe they could negotiate for our lives. Because the custom of the Arabs and of other civilizations at that time was that if you entered victorious in a land, what would happen? Blood would flow on the streets, because you want to show who's victorious. Yet the Prophet ﷺ entered, bowed in worship of his Lord, bent over till his forehead was almost touching his saddle, and he forgave them. Why? Because his character was tremendous. What made his character tremendous? The ulama said, كان خلقه عظيما لأنه لم يكن له هم سوى ربه. His character, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was tremendous because he had no concern except his Lord. His character, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was tremendous. The way he was, the way he dealt with people, was amazing, was tremendous, such that despite everything that people did to him, you saw nothing but beautiful conduct from him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he had, his concern was the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for you to become a true follower of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you have to acquire concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you make that your concern, then that path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will make sense. It will be clear that this is the only way worth living, that every breath that I spend in other than the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a breath that is wasted. But it only makes sense when you acquire that feeling. How do you acquire that feeling? You acquire that feeling through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. Through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day. By reading His book. By concerning yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that you do. So when you pray, what's the most important thing with respect to your prayer? It's not the prayer itself, but it's the one you're praying to. Right? When you stand to pray, most of us are concerned, okay, I have to pray, I have to do this, I have to do this. Allahu Akbar, right? And the prayer doesn't make that much sense then. And you ask a lot of Muslims, and you hear a lot of Muslims when they talk about the prayer, they say, you know, we pray because it gives us peace of mind. It gives us this, it regulates our day. It does this, it does that. You even find books, although I think now they're out of print because it's not fashionable anymore, about the yogic benefits of prayer. It's not about any of that. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your prayer is about Allah. When you deal with people, why do we try to uphold good character in our dealings with people? Not because we want to somehow be ambassadors for Islam or any other reason. We want to give a good impression to people. It's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we seek to be as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be. So this is something that Imam Nawawi has emphasized, the sunnahs of acting. And he's also emphasized, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the believer, when they act, they have to take into account the way of truth. Right? When he's describing the sunnah of following the sunnah, he puts in the chapter on 2 chapters related to bid'ah, to innovation, right in the middle. And you think, like, what's bid'ah got to do with it? Bid'ah is very important, innovation. Because innovation is not just a matter of a few actions. But innovation, the reality of bid'ah, is that which goes against the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in our times especially, we have to know the way of truth. We have to have a certain amount of religious literacy, religious awareness, so we can discern the truth from falsehood. There's so many who speak about Islam. Many are easy to tell that, you know, these guys are just jokers. But there's others who seem to be serious about the deen, sometimes too serious about the deen, right? But their way is not the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because their understanding is an understanding that's not the understanding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed. Imam Ghazali made a very important point in his book of knowledge in the Ihya. He said, "من عرف الحق بالرجال تحير في متاهات الضلال فعرف الحق تعرف رجاله." That whoever determines truth merely by people will always remain lost in the plains of confusion. Right? Rather, he said, know the truth and you'll know its people. Know the truth and you'll know its people. This does not mean that you make up the deen yourself. No. It's a divine command that we seek religious guidance, that we seek religious scholarship. But we have to acquire a certain amount of religious understanding by which you can determine whom you should listen to and to what extent you can listen to different people. So that if someone says something bizarre, you have some criteria of discerning what is right and wrong. You don't have to become a scholar yourself, but you have to know what are the characteristics of the way of truth. And this is why Imam Nawawi mentions bid'ah. And it's an important point in our time, because many people claim to be promoting the sunnah, yet what they promote is so ugly, you cannot imagine the Prophet ﷺ acting as such people. Right? Like, for example, one of the important sunnahs is brushing one's teeth, is siwak. But we don't only use the siwak as the Prophet ﷺ, for the Prophet ﷺ did it, but there's a way of doing it. One of the Sahaba saw someone before the prayer brushing his teeth, and the way he was doing it was so ugly, he said, "Are you preparing to eat someone?" Right? Are you preparing to eat someone? Right? Because yes, it is from the sunnah, it's a recommended sunnah to brush one's teeth before the prayer. But there's a way you do it. Can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ sticking his teeth out to someone and frowning and like scaring people? No. You cannot imagine anything but beauty from the beloved of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? So this is why. And similarly in conduct, in dealings, in everything, right? And there's a criteria for this, because the believer is a reflection of mercy, right? The believer is a reflection of mercy. The last thing that Imam Nawawi tells us about the way, the prophetic way of following the sunnah, is the idea of concern. That the believer is someone of concern. They're not just concerned about the good for themselves, they're concerned about the good for others. None of you believes until they wish for others as they wish for themselves. Right? None of you believes until they wish for their brother as they wish for themselves. This is a criteria of faith. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ told us that religion itself is sincere concern. Right? Ad-deenun nasiha. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that, and Sheikh Yusuf mentioned this hadith that's so beautiful, that لَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْجَنَّةَ بِعَمَلِهِ, that none of you will enter paradise by their works. The Sahaba were smart, right? When the Sahaba asked the Prophet ﷺ a question, think about the question they asked. Why did they ask the question? Because they were smart. They didn't just ask any random questions. The Sahaba didn't speak very much with the Prophet ﷺ. They used to sit in front of the Prophet ﷺ كَأَنَّمَا عَلَى رُؤُوسِهِمُ الطَّيْرِ, as if there's a bird perched on their head. They used to still sit so still. And we know the hadith of Jibreel, right? When Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him those four great questions. But we generally don't know what happened before the hadith. Because the narration that's in Muslim and it's in the chapter heading of Bukhari, it mentions كُنَّ جُلُوسٌ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ, that we were sitting around the Messenger صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ one day when suddenly a man appeared. But if you look at other narrations of the hadith, and they're gathered by one of the great Hanafi Imams, Imam Muhammad Murtada al-Zabidi, who was Indian, right? Three lands claimed the scholar. He was from the 12th Islamic century. He was born in Gujarat. Right? So if you look at the Indian works of biography, such as Al-I'lam Biman Fi Tarikh Al-Hind Min Al-A'lam, they said Muhammad Murtada Al-Gujarati. Right? He's more famous as Zabidi, because he grew up, he was born in India, in Gujarat. He grew up there, but he completed his education as an adult in Zabid, in Yemen. But then he migrated to Cairo. And he lived and died there. He authored a 32-volume dictionary, which is a commentary on one of the most famous dictionaries in Arabic called Al-Qamus Al-Muhit. So the greatest Arabic dictionary actually is by an Indian scholar. And he has a commentary, a 10-volume commentary on the Ihya of Imam Al-Ghazali. And he was brilliant. Often he'd narrate a hadith from Sahih Al-Bukhari. And this is 12 centuries after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he'd say, and we also narrate it with another chain. And he'd mention a chain from himself back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that would circumvent all the famous chains that the hadith scholars were aware of. That circumvented all the 6 books of hadith. Right? Because he knew all these isnads, and he narrated hadiths from all these scholars, not only from India, but from Yemen, from Egypt, and from elsewhere. He's brilliant. He gathered in one of his works many, many different versions of this hadith, the hadith Jibreel. And before Jibreel came, the Prophet ﷺ had asked the Sahaba, ask me anything you wish. Now the Sahaba weren't, you know, they were avid for benefit. So they didn't just used to ask anything. So they were thinking about it. What do we ask the Prophet ﷺ? So they remained quiet. And he'd said, إِسْأَلُوا مَا بَدَى لَكُمْ, ask me anything you wish. But they didn't say anything. This tells you something about the attitude of the companions, right? That, you know, they had this avidness for benefit. They didn't just say, sure. So tell us, what are you planning to do next, Ya Rasulullah, right? What's up? Right? No, they were avid for benefit, right? So when the Prophet ﷺ said, none of you will enter paradise by his works, the Sahaba thought about it. And in front of them was the best of creation, the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. So they said, وَلَا أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. Because if anyone would enter paradise by his works, it would be him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, وَلَا أَنَا, not even I. لَوْلَا أَنْ يَتَغَمَّدَنِي اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ, unless Allah envelops me in His mercy and in His bounty, in His favor. So we seek the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But how do we attain the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that الرَّحِمُونَ يَرْحَمْهُمُ الرَّحْمَنُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى, it is the merciful alone who are shown mercy by the all-merciful. اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, be merciful to those on earth, and the Lord of the heavens will be merciful to you. So the condition, a condition of attaining unto divine mercy, is to be merciful to Allah's creation. What is mercy? What is mercy? Anyone? What is mercy? Can someone give us a definition of mercy? Someone said, mumbled something. Mercy is having pity on someone. Yeah, that's an aspect of mercy, an expression of mercy. That's good. Forgiving is from mercy, right? That's an expression of mercy. What else? What is mercy itself? Anyone? Having compassion for someone, that's even closer, right? Having compassion for each other, yeah, that's how it's expressed. And compassion is probably the closest one, but it's cheating, because compassion is almost like a synonym for mercy. The ulama try to define things, right? Because by definition, things are known. They say that mercy is a concern, right? Mercy is concern that causes one to seek good for another and to grant them good, right? Mercy is concern that causes one to seek good for another and to grant them good, right? It is, so when you seek the the divine concern, the inayah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want the mercy of Allah, that Allah grant you the good. The condition of it is to be good to Allah's creation. Why? Because what is it? It is the creation of Allah. And everything around you is the creation of Allah. Right? And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَانِ, the servants of the All-Merciful. الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا, are those who tread lightly on earth. Why do they tread lightly on earth? Because this is not just earth. This is Allah's creation. Right? Everything for them is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they treat it like that. Right? Everything is a creation of Allah. So the believer walks like a kid in a toy store, right? Because they have a sense of wow. Because the believer has a sense, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Everything is amazing. But they have a sense of responsibility, right? They have a sense of responsibility. But they have this sense of marvel for the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, even with the vilest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, we deal with it in the most beautiful of ways. Right? In the most beautiful of ways. The Prophet ﷺ, even in refusing, he refused in the most beautiful of ways. As Imam Busiri said, you would not see anyone more beautiful in saying no or in saying yes. Right? Why? Because of this care and concern he had. And this care and concern was not just because he was trying to be a nice guy. He was not trying to win any election. Right? It's not like the Obama thing. Rather, it was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He was seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was seeking the mercy of Allah. And who is it that is granted divine mercy? The merciful. And the most merciful of Allah's creation was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent only as a mercy. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, إِنَّمَا أَنَا رَحْمَةٌ مُهْدَى, that I am but a gift of divine mercy. I am but a gift of divine mercy. I'm an embodiment of what mercy is. So how does one have mercy? One has mercy by assisting each other in righteousness and in piety. التعاون على البر والتقوى. One has concern for others by being a person of nasiha. Being a person of nasiha, of sincere concern for others. But our nasiha for others is not just telling people, do this, don't do that, right? But rather, when we tell people what to do, when we encourage people out of this sincere concern for them, out of the sense of overflowing mercy. It's a mercy, right? That is so overflowing, you can't hold it in yourself. You have to spread it to others. Why do we call people to the deen? Out of the sense of mercy. Why do we command the good and forbid the wrong? Because we're seeking divine mercy, and we want that mercy to spread in society. We want to see the good spread. But that's how we command the good. When you see your cousin doing something completely haram, right? You correct them. But how do you correct them? You don't correct them in a way that's completely haram, right? It's like, I have someone in my distant family, right? He's become kind of religious sometimes. When he gets a flash of religiousness, he'll go to his mom and say, "Mom, you're a total loser." Like he'll, you know, start screaming at her because she did something slightly wrong, right? So what auntie did was probably slightly wrong, but the way he corrected her was really wrong, right? So we command the good, but in a manner that's good. Why? Because what is it that moves our commanding the good? It is that sense of mercy. It is that sense of mercy. And how do we express that mercy? By looking at the example of the embodiment of mercy. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was sent as a mercy for all creation, was sent to be this example, this radiant example for us. Right? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Verily you have in the Messenger of Allah the most beautiful of examples. So we have to connect with the beauty of that prophetic example. And one of our problems is that we don't know much about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because of many things that have happened in the modern Muslim mindset. Most of us only know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the way you know someone by their resume, right? That You know, he did this, then this, then this, then this, then this, and then he passed away. Right? We only have a sort of resume of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because typically all we do is we only read the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the events that happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? But then the seerah is not primarily about him. It's about what happened to him. And this was traditionally the science that was most emphasized to be taught was not the seerah. And the seerah is very important. It was the shama'il. It was the shama'il. It was the description of the person of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How he was. How he acted. His habits. Right? How he was. Do we even know how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked? Imagine if someone told you that they're in love, right? This, and you said, so is she beautiful? I said, I don't know. And you know, you'd think that's really weird, right? How could you love someone if you don't even know how they look, right? And that's why it's from the Sunnah. When you go to marry someone, one of the great Sahaba, he decided he wanted to marry someone, and he found out about her deen was good and everything. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ask him? Did you look at her? He said, no. He said, go and look at her. Right? And it's from the Sunnah. Even if one has decided, you know, this is an exemplary person, I want to marry them. You know, Mawlana said, she gets like a 95 in piety. Right? You didn't ask, what's the 5%? Because you know you're probably only a 65, right? But even then, the Sunnah is to look. Why? Because that it's an aspect of love. Do we even know how the Prophet ﷺ looked, right? So we have to find out how he was. Verily, having the Messenger of Allah, the most beautiful of examples. When you realize that he's the means for you to seek Allah and the last day, find out about him. How was he? How did he look? How was his conduct? How was his character? How did he act? And then you'll grow to love him. And if you grow to love him, you'll gain that prophetic impulse of seeking Allah in the last day. And you have to reflect on this idea of seeking Allah in the last day. In closing, one of the great scholars of Islam, Ibn Mashish, someone went to him and asked him, tell me some religious things that I can do. Right? Tell me things that I can do. So he looked at him and said, A Rasulun ana? Am I a messenger? He said, the lawful is clear, so do it. Then the unlawful is clear, so avoid it. The obligations are known, so fulfill them. But then he said, but if I were to tell you something, then fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? He said, حُبُّ اللَّهِ قُطْبٌ تَدُورُ حَوْلَهَا الْخَيْرَاتِ That the love of Allah is an axis around which all good revolves. What is love? Love is inclining towards your beloved, right? It is to seek your beloved. You're not at rest unless you're with your beloved. Reflect on that. Ask yourself, do I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in life? And when you can begin to answer that question, then and only then can you truly follow the sunnah and do so in a meaningful manner. Because what is the characteristic of people of true belief? وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ And those who believe are most intense in their love of Allah. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be people who bring the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into our lives. People who follow the sunnah with excellence in the way that is most beautiful. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be people whose lives revolve around Him. That everything that we do it out of a seeking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bring the reality of the sunnah into our lives so that we bring light into our lives, that we bring the remembrance of Allah into our lives, that we bring meaning and true joy in our lives, because it is only through the remembrance of Allah that hearts find rest. And what is the remembrance of Allah? The sunnah is the remembrance of Allah. Every act that is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ is an expression of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we be of the people of His remembrance, the people who uphold the sunnah. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلي وسلم وبارك على سيد المرسلين إمام المتقين الهادي إلى سواء السبيل وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وجزاكم الله تعالى خيرا، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.